What's up, everybody?
Hey, hey, everybody.
What's up, Ray Dog?
What's up, Roman? Roman Pino.
Hey, this is kind of weird.
Pino Noir.
I'm in the studio, and Ray is at home.
Yeah, I'm at my home studio.
Oh, boom. Shots fired. Whatever that means.
I'm in my home studio. Hopefully everyone's doing good.
Oh, yeah. And we got a mic stand this time, too, I see. And you're going in-ears, too, for that better audio quality. Come on, Ray.
Stepping on my game,
he's leveling up, y'all. He's leveling up.
Living it up.
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to show them this little trick that I did here, okay?
Yeah, do it.
So you see, like, you think it's this mic. It's not. It's this.
I'm actually using the mic.
Yeah,
that's cool. Those things that
I'm just
they
using
sound
this
good.
As a stand. It does?
Those things, yeah, it sounds really good.
Yeah, the Rode. But you can't tell it's there because it's hidden behind the mic from your camera angle. But I didn't have a little clip, special clip for it, and it looked kind of weird talking into it. So I just left it. So it is what it is.
That's cool.
Just go to show. You can use anything, right, Ray?
That's right. It ain't the gear. It's the ear.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Let them know. So today we're going to continue. We're on part three of Record Labels versus Independence.
Yes.
We have a couple of good things lined up for y'all. Ray has a very interesting story lined up close to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know us, my name is Rome. This is Ray. We're music producers. We produce a bunch of other stuff as well. But this show in particular, we're going to be talking about the music industry. And if y'all could, please like, share, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. It'll mean a lot to us. If you got any value from this, let us know. And if you're able to do that, we also want to give you something free. Not if you're
able to,
but we'll give it to you anyways. We have a free gift for y'all. It's called Industry Standard Productions, completely free, 7 ways to level up your game. We think you're going to enjoy it. A lot of people have already got it, and they're leveling up their game. So if you're late to the party, now it's time to jump on board. No better time than now. Right, Ray?
Absolutely. Jump on board. It's helping a lot of folks. People are leveling up, taking their game to the next level. Jump on board.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then, Ray, you have industry news for us.
Yeah, man. Taylor Swift just keeps coming back, man. She's the gift that keeps on giving. So this past weekend, this past weekend she did released her concert tour. Obviously, it's the number one concert tour movie ever. I'm sorry. Yeah, she released her tour movie. But what's super interesting.
So it's like a behind the scenes sort of thing?
No, it's the actual show. You know, so you go to the movie theater and experience the show somewhat like if you were there live.
Because the sound is kicking, big screen.
Exactly. So I don't know if they have a, like a mini movie of the behind the scenes, but it's mainly about the show itself. So what's really interesting is the deal she made to get it out. So typically, to get movies in theaters, you go through some sort of studio, right? Because they have the budget to, number one, produce the movie. Then number two, market the movie. Well, Taylor is already doing the show. It was basically up and running. So she pretty much just had to hire a camera crew, maybe a production company, right, to shoot it because, it was all set up anyway, right? So that's kind of A, she took care of that. B, she has just on Instagram alone 274 million followers. So she had her marketing set up. So what she did was cut out a studio, did a direct deal with AMC, with the movie theaters and the local movie theaters. And bada bing. And she's coming just shy of 100 million for the weekend. She's coming in at like 95, 97 million for the weekend. But people, the industry is a little bit rattled by that because typically, you don't cut out the studios, and they got cut out this time. So,
and she's still booming.
Right, exactly. That's why I think stories like this, you know, stories like, you know, what's happening in the music business, you know, just like the labels getting cut out. I mean, it truly is a time for the independent and really a time for people to take back their careers and have, I mean, more than any other time in history, man, it's the time for the independents. I mean, that's why I like stories like this, and those are the stories I like to bring, like people doing it for themselves.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
she's pretty
really, really cool.
She's a pioneer of all of this, like stick it to the man, because the record deal wasn't exactly what she wanted. Like re-releasing right, exactly. her stuff. Mm-hmm. Now she's breaking into the film industry basically by producing her live tour anyways.
Yep, exactly.
That's freaking smart. Have people done that already, where they like put their stuff out there like that?
Dude, like, you know, you've got Justin Bieber, you've got Hannah Montana with Miley Cyrus, and even the Jonas Brothers.
They put their shows out like that in the theaters?
Yeah. They all did concert movies. Yes, they did. Now, my assumption is, of course, I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming they went through some type of studio or did some type of deal, right? So, but Taylor is one of the first to cut out the studio and do that part on her own, because she's got the money to produce it and she already has the fan base. What do you do? I don't need
That's
you.
That's wild. Talk about killing the game. She's killing multiple games.
I know, dude. Crazy. Big time.
That's super crazy. Well, good for her. But that should put a little, I think for me personally, being in video as well, that puts a little fire under my tail to think like outside the box more, you know. Like,
absolutely,
she
bro.
She thought outside the box with her music. She's crushing it, so.
And then, you know, just.
Sweet, so let's jump right in. Oh, go ahead.
Well, super great. So, you know, people that like you, Roman, and to some extent like me, that can do video, man, that's another thing to offer some of your clients. If you're producing the track, hey, man, what if I stick three cameras up in the studio and then towards the end of it, I make you, you know, for X amount of money, I'll make you a mini documentary of what's going on as we produce the video. So just something to think about.
Totally. Yeah, so we're continuing our episode, our series on record label versus independence.
Yes.
That's a good industry news that goes along with what we're talking about. Yep. But, and like we said with Taylor Swift, the first topic we're going to cover today is ownership and rights, which with Taylor Swift, what she did with her whole thing of remaking the music so she could own the recordings, that's right up the same thing
right
there. That's
right. Exactly.
Go ahead, Ray. Oh. You could talk. Go ahead. I'm waiting for you.
Okay. Well, the rights are super important. And I don't know if people know this, but whenever you sign a record deal as an artist, actually one of the paragraphs is actually you signing over your right to record to the label. Okay. They have to have that in order to produce the music and then actually distribute it. They need your right to record. So that's actually the most valuable piece. And most people do that, and that's fine, but I don't know if people know that that's actually what they're doing. They're through a contract physically signing over their rights to record. And then also on the publishing side, the songwriter side, if you sign over your publishing as well over to a label, then you're signing your five copyrights. You know, the right to display, right to distribute. You know, all the, you know, there's five copyrights out there. You're transferring all those rights as well over whenever you're doing a deal. So it's actually done within the contract. So just check that out and look at it. You won't be able to not do that. You know, at least to some certain extent, if you're going to sign. So it's just kind of part of the deal.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to independence as well, it's like you could keep all of that, but you're not going to have the backing, which we talked about before previous weeks. You're not going to have the same backing of a record label. So it's kind of just, you know, it's up to your discretion. Like we said before, it's not, we're not telling you to do this or that. And you could be coming from the side, the angle that you want to be an independent label and you see what major labels are doing and you want to offer something more for an independent artist. So letting the ownership and rights be a little different, that might be something to set you apart from all other labels. Maybe.
Exactly. For sure.
Then the next one we're going to talk about is industry relationships. We've talked about this on other episodes. It's such a very important topic because relationships are key, much less in a career field. You know what I mean? Like, it should be even more important if it's something that you want to have longevity in a career. Talk a little bit about it for us, Ray Dog.
Yeah, so all the labels are deeply entrenched in all the other aspects of the business. You know, they'll connect you to a manager, you know, if you need, you know, obviously attorneys, you know, booking agents. They can do all of those types of things, especially if they're getting a piece of it in the, on the label deal. And so that's super helpful. So what's that one story I had? I think it was David Geffen. Yeah. So who's the band who did Welcome to the Jungle? Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses, yeah.
Right, so Geffen had just signed Guns N' Roses, and it was very different than what was going on around the radio or music videos. So they weren't exactly sure what to do with it. So David Geffen called the head of MTV at the time. He said, hey, will you just do me a favor and play the music video? You can even play it at midnight or 1, 2, 3 in the morning when no one's watching. And so because he's David Geffen, they said, okay, we'll do it. So it's only being played midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. They ended up, you know, getting an audience and blowing up, right? So those are some of the types of relational things that they can do as labels that you may or may not be able to do as an independent artist. So
yeah, I'm a big fan of, even outside of like your career and music industry, I'm a big fan of stewarding relationships because, you know, if everything else goes away and stuff goes to crap and whatever, you lose your job or you lose your business or something, you still have those relationships if you steward them right.
And
if
absolutely
good and if it's a productive relationship. I was talking to someone a few days ago. I'm going to keep this as general as possible so it's not like pointing anyone out. But I was on a gig and they asked me about like, how do you decide if you're going to work with someone that's like friends or family? And I just said straight up, I try not to, like, because it potentially puts you in a weird situation of like, if anything happens and it's on the business side, you may see it only as business, but other people potentially won't. They'll see it as a personal attack or a personal discrepancy with that relationship. So for me personally, I'm more of like the relationship's more important than a chunk of cash for just a project, you know what I mean? But it's kind of the same thing of like, you gotta fill it out, you gotta make decisions based off of, if you know this person super well, you have history with them for years and years, you know how they act, and if something did happen, you know what their response would be and you could sort it out. But if someone you don't know but you still want to steward that relationship, it's like, okay, they think something else.
Exactly. Well said.
Thanks. Yeah. I think a lot of people think about too, like, if you're wanting to break in the music business, you're like, I just want to get famous, or I want my label to be the best of the best, and you're just after relationships just for the sake of your own gain, people are going to figure it out. So it's you could only go so far. You're only going to do so much until people start talking to other people or they start figuring out your game. I mean, you could tell. Anyone with like a decent amount of life behind them can tell when someone's coming at you from the angle of, I'm going to get what I want and I don't even care about you. And they're falsely, or not falsely, what they're called, fakely. They're not authentic with what they're talking about. So don't play that game with relationships just to get gain. Bring value to someone.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's got to be you got to bring value to the relationship. You know, you've got to bring some kind of business value, you know, relational, I mean, in some way, shape, or form, just bringing value to the other party. So important.
Yep. Yeah, that's basically business.
Exactly.
Maybe someone hires you to do a project. They see value in the product you offer, and they are going to exchange value with you in the form of finances. Same thing will work in a relationship. Like, if you don't see a relationship as valuable, or if it's not valuable enough to you, and you feel like you're being drained of whatever your emotion and whatever time, it's not a good relationship, I would say.
I agree.
So, steward your relationship, especially if you're wanting to be in the industry for a long time. Don't be just a little flash in the pan.
For sure.
The last thing we're going to talk about is touring, which I'll start because, Ray, you can wrap it up with your story. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
boom. So I'll come more from the independent side, which usually how it goes with when we talk because I work a lot with independent artists. But with independent touring, it's going to cost you a lot. It's going to be a little bit harder work because you are independent. You don't really have a well-established name as a big independent or a record label or an independent label, whatever that looks like. So independent touring, you're going to have to front the cash for transport, potentially hotel stays. A lot of these guys will just stay in the van that they rented and not take showers, or they'll take showers at gyms or wherever, at truck stops, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of grimy. Some people like that. I mean, when I was young, I thought that was cool. Now I'm like, that's disgusting. But a lot of that happens. And if you don't have the relationships too, if you're brand new and you try to reach out to a venue, and they don't know who you are other than they see that you're on social media or something like that, it's going to be a lot harder instead of being backed by like a major label. So touring is hard. Typically, you're not going to hire a driver. You're going to be the driver, or you all are going to take turns, which I've heard handful of stories of people getting in accidents, people falling asleep at the wheel. Typically, that doesn't happen as much whenever it's like a hired driver. Which, go ahead, Ray, you could talk more about it. That's kind of all just off the top of my head that I was thinking of as far as touring as an independent.
Yeah, and then on the label side of things too, and this kind of will lead into my story, but it's important to know because I totally get it. You know, as an independent, you might need the money and everything, and that's one of the reasons why you sign with a label, is to get that tour support, right? But you got to know that tour support is being added to the budget for your recoupment. So, I mean, if it's, you know, 25, 50 grand here or there, whatever, they'll be like, sure, here you go. And then that just adds up to the pile of money that you have to pay back based off of your artist percentage, your artist royalties. So that's just something to consider. I'm not saying that don't do it, because I know a lot of artists do. In fact, that kind of leads me to my story. I had a artist that I was managing with Kevin Jonas, and they were signed to a major record label. I'll just try to keep it as general as I can. Major record label. And what was cool was, in fact, one of the things that actually helped get them signed was that this band, for some reason or another, had gotten really connected with the Baltimore Orioles, the baseball team. And so they started playing one of their songs, and it slowly but surely became a theme song over the season, to the point where to the point where they really started to win a lot and ended up making it to the playoffs. I think they got a pennant or something like that. And then they made it to the playoffs, and they were one game away from figuring out if they were going to the Super Bowl or not. Sorry, the Super Bowl. World Series. Okay? So we approached the label, hey, if the Baltimore Orioles go to the World Series, could we try to work out a deal with the MLB and get them to play, and then you guys pay for it, right? So they said, yes, if you can get the MLB on, then we will, and then they can play and they win, we'll pay for it. So I ended up calling, working with a few folks from the MLB, got all the approval. Okay, great. If the Baltimore Orioles win and they go to the World Series, we'll do a special debut of the song and the band with the Baltimore Orioles. And so I came back with the budget. I said, okay, guys, it's going to cost $80,000 for us to do this gig. One gig was going to cost us 80 grand, and then I got the label to cover it, right? So they did not end up going to the World Series, so not everything else went away. But those are the types of deals that you can do with a label. And the reason why they said, yes, we will do the 80 grand and send them is because it's going to be able to promote the music, right? So we were going to put the album release right around that time, and so that, you know, the label would benefit from all the sales and all that kind of stuff. So that's how that relationship worked between management and label to really actually go after different opportunities, like exposure opportunities for that, because that was a really big exposure opportunity. I mean, to play in front of the World Series would have been huge.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That just goes to show, you don't have to just be an artist. You could go off and do like what Ray was doing. He's doing more of a management role. Yeah. Killing the game.
Boy,
striking
sure.
80 grand deals.
Boom.
So let's recap real quick. The first one we talked about was ownership and rights. Your girl Taylor Swift did it big with re-recording her stuff. Mm-hmm. Cutting Edge. There's probably other people that did that too, but she's a current one for us. Industry relationships. Don't just try to go out there and get what you can just for your own selfish gain. Try to add value to someone else. And then touring. We talked about the possibilities like that. Like mm-hmm. with Ray Dogg talking about, you know, dropping some deals.
Mm-hmm.
So before we jump off, go check out forwardproducer.com/ISP for industry standard productions. Completely yeah. free. And yeah. if y'all could, like, share, comment, subscribe, rate us if you're on a podcast player. That would mean a whole lot to us.
Do it.
Thanks for being on, Ray.
Hey, man, no problem. This is fun.